Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Joining us now from Politico, we've got Darren Sanderson. Darren, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Charles.
Man, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. this is a little bit of the fun part of politics. You're expecting that on the Republican side specifically, that the dirty tricks are about to start.
That's right. South Carolina has a reputation, a little bit different reputation than Iowa Nice or the New Hampshire Independents. Things can get pretty nasty in South Carolina. They have in the past. You might remember the sort of whisper campaign that was going on in 2000 that suggested John McCain's adopted daughter from Bangladesh was actually an illegitimate daughter, which circulated through robo-push polls and certainly raised questions, and a lot of people said led to George W. Bush whopping him in that South Carolina primary. You saw similar kinds of things over the years, and people are bracing. It's already started in South Carolina, but people are bracing for even more.
All right, I gotta ask, man. Do tell. What are some of the rumors and innuendos you're hearing coming out of there?
Well, you want to be careful as a reporter, yes, for sure, to repeat things that have been rumored and innuendo.
This is purely for scientific purposes.
For scientific purposes. The best I'm going to do for you is this. I'm going to give huge props to the Charleston Post and Courier newspaper for really kind of trying something different. They have a crowdsourcing site up on their website, and I suggest you go to it. If you Google Whisper Campaign Charleston Post and Courier, you'll come to it. So they're inviting their readers to write in with things that they're experiencing, whether it be yard signs stolen or weird phone calls suggesting that the date for the election is actually a different date than it really is. And so they've got about, I think, 8 or 9 before I wrote my story. I don't know what the number is now, reader write-ins, and they weren't even able to chase them all down themselves and vet them for accuracy. That's the real danger here. You know, there's a lot of things that will fly around out there, and you just don't want to, as a responsible journalist, start repeating things that are whispers. And I mean, that's just kind of the nature of what's going on here too. It is a huge challenge for the journalists, for the candidates. This stuff really is shadowy. Sometimes it comes through third hand, someone who knows someone who knows someone responsible for the campaign, and then people trying to cover their tracks. So I'm going to be a little bit careful here in exactly explaining what you're hearing, but anyway, that gives you a good sense, maybe.
Right. Okay. And folks, Darren, I have the advantage. We're a talk show. I'm not a reporter. Allow me to enjoy this for a moment. Find out who was standing in 7-Eleven and had all of their credit cards declined at 11 tonight.
What's that?
Find out who had all of their credit cards declined at 7-Eleven tonight at 11.
I will check that out.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to report on that. And, whose car got towed because of too many parking tickets or some such.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that we can expect. It's politics. Now, mm-hmm. and Darren, you've been doing this long enough. I'm going to ask you, why as voters do we condone this? Do we allow this? We're talking about... one candidate has dropped out of the race, so vote for me, which we've already seen. Why did we condone this and allow it to happen?
Well, I don't know that you really have much choice in the matter, to boil it down. Sorry to say. This stuff happens really fast. It happens pretty quietly. It sort of works the ways of the internet to keep things alive. I mean, it's just amazing sometimes when something, is a rumor and then it gets published on a blog, and then the blog, another blog will pick it up, and then another blog will pick it up. And before you know it, you kind of have just sort of a lower standard of information out there than maybe what a reporter would vet it and make a decision before publishing it. So part of it is that South Carolina, the other thing I noted, and the reason why this happens in South Carolina, besides the long history that it has happened in the past, Iowa and New Hampshire, these are voters who have gotten a year's worth of attention from the presidential candidates. They've been there. They've really kind of gotten to, test drive everybody. A lot of people in New Hampshire and Iowa, tell me, and you hear this over and over, that they, they don't make a decision until they met the candidates 5, 6, 7 times each. South Carolina, it kind of just turns on a dime to them after New Hampshire is finished. So it's just a barrage of information that comes at them in like a 10-day period, which really makes it ripe for these kinds of questions and challenges and anonymous attacks. You know, you have the shady super PACs that are also throwing things out there, and I'm sure most people have no idea who, you know, who the super PACs are affiliated with. It's a challenge even for reporters to figure that part out. So yeah. There's a lot of things that happen. The one other interesting part to this whole story is, you know, a lot of the examples I gave you there from 2000, 2008, 2012 even, were a different time on social media. You know, Twitter was used in 12, but nowhere near at the level it is today. So nowadays, if something happens, there is an immediate sort of awareness to the stuff that wasn't there in 2000 or 2004, even outside of the state border. So, you know, a weird phone call comes in now to a South Carolinian. They might post it on Twitter, and you know, every reporter in America is going to know about it in hours. And so it maybe loses some of the potency maybe that it did in the past. So that's kind of one of the rubs here. People are still going to try this stuff, no doubt about it, but I wonder as well how effective it would be. And then as well, Donald Trump as the front runner and the main target for a lot of this, the dirty tricks probably, you got to wonder what more can be said about Donald Trump at this point in time. The guy's pretty much been, raked over the coals and had his political obituary written over and over and over.
Right, so. Right. Yeah. Well, did you hear the latest? Mayor Bloomberg was caught with a 48-ounce Big Gulp. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Was it?
And it wasn't diet.
That was my question.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. I take a little bit of umbrage with this, just simply for the fact that, my God, folks, we got so many more important things to do. And Ted Cruz, really? That wasn't cool what you did. Mr. Carson didn't drop out, but, you know, that's another story. So, all right. Darren, we appreciate it. How do we find out more about you and what you do for Politico?
Absolutely. Politico.com is the best entry point to find everything that I do and all my great colleagues at Politico do, but you can follow me on Twitter at D. Samuelson.
There you go. And if you include us at the Union Edge, we'll retweet it. And I promise you, man, if you give us any tips, I will not attribute them to you. Okay.
Head on down to Columbia. You'll find a lot of stuff.
There we go. We're having fun. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. In the meantime, folks, I'm Charles Showalter. I got to say this. I really do. There is a time for us to get a lot more serious, and we need to hold our politicians accountable for their actions and the actions of their staff people, because it's real easy to blame the intern. My goodness. Let's not do that. Let's hold the politicians accountable for their actions during the campaign, during the election, and after they get elected. Because, folks, it's no longer partisan. Once you're in office, you represent all of the constituents. And we collectively, whether or not we agree with the politician all the time, have to hold them responsible for that. I'm just saying. So in the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.